May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we will be bringing you conversations all month long to help you on your brain health journey. One of my favorite quotes is, "What mental health needs is more candor, more sunlight, and more unashamed conversations." We have a lot of great episodes for you this month, so let's check it out. Hey, Danielle, welcome to the Pineapple Principle Podcast. We are so excited to have you this month for May for mental health awareness and sharing your story. But tell our community, what is something that you like to do as a teenage girl, and do you still do that today?
So, interestingly enough, my favorite thing to do as a teenager was playing football, anything related to football. I just loved football. I was a little unhealthily obsessed, but I loved football. And honestly, I lost touch with it a lot. So I don't actually really do that today.
So are we talking like you played flag football, you watched college football, you watched NFL? What? Tell me. I want to know.
So I watched NFL football. My favorite team, New England Patriots, still my favorite team.
Oh,
yes.
Go Pats.
Love the New England Patriots. I did play a little bit of football, but it was always like touch football in the backyard with my siblings type thing. But like, I got really serious into like athletic training. So it's like, I would look up all the stuff and like do my running paces and my stride and trying to perfect all of that. Like I was ready to start a career in football.
That's funny. I did not expect you to say football. I thought you were going to say cooking. Because I know you like to cook. And
I do love cooking. I would say, yeah, I did really love cooking. But I also did it like, you know, like make dinner and everything. But like when I think of like when like I was in my element the most as a teenager, it was playing football.
Playing football. I love it. I like some football. Mm-hmm. So it is May. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. And here at Pineapple Principle, we are not just about helping mentor teen girls in their spiritual health, mm-hmm. but also in their mental health. We feel like that's very important. And so I'm very appreciative of you being with me today and sharing your story. And I know a little bit of your story, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into it. I know you've had, in the past, you've dealt with depression and anxiety mm-hmm. and suicidal thoughts and self-harm. And mm-hmm. so we're going to just dig into that for a little bit today. And I want to know, so what age did that start out? What age did that start?
I would say the depression, the anxiety really started around 9 or so, like 9 to 10-ish.
Okay.
My family went through a lot of very difficult changes, a lot of like moving around. We became very isolated. I stopped going to school and a lot of burden and responsibility fell on me. And I really wasn't sure how to deal with it all. So I would say that was like the very beginning of a lot of my mental health struggles.
And then kind of how did things escalate? Take us through your story a little bit.
So we moved around several times and my dad was always working. My mom didn't have a job. She kind of had a hard time keeping a job. So she stayed at the house and took care of things. We began homeschooling in kind of an iffy way. So I didn't really have a lot of community around me. And my mom struggled a lot with her mental health. So she never really had the capacity to take care of things. So then it fell to me. My dad was always like, "I just really need your help with these things." And I didn't have a great relationship with my mother either. She was verbally, psychologically abusive. So I struggled to have a very good connection with her. And I saw her all the time. So it was just a lot of weight on me. And I just became really overwhelmed with the responsibility. And my relationship with my mother and my dad wasn't really able to protect me from it. So I would say that it escalated to like suicidal thoughts more and more and really came to a climax around 15. I had a couple more siblings that were born over the course of that time. And as I got older, I became more capable. So more and more of those responsibilities fell to me. And I got to a point where I was like, I just can't do it anymore. I'm like, if I'm living like this, then like, what's the point? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I feel like so tired and overburdened. I'm like, I'm just existing to work myself to death. Like I was like, I would go to bed at night and I would literally have chest pain from working so hard all the time. And I'm like, I just can't do it anymore. But I think I got to the end of my rope and I was sitting and I was ready to do away with it all. And God was like, but they need you. And it wasn't the way that I saw it. Like in my mind, I'm like, so I just have to keep doing this because people need me. But it did, like, I was like, wow, I don't know what they would do without me. But as time went on, I learned that they needed me to be the first example of how to do a lot of things, like set boundaries and how to like start dealing with a lot of the things that we went through, a lot of the drama and the traumatic experiences. And I realized looking back, like that's what they had needed me for. Like they didn't need me to just do everything for them and become an enabler. But really, the reason that they needed me was to be able to like to trailblaze, in a sense, mm-hmm. all the things that we never really saw how to do.
So you said you heard from God. So did your family go to church?
We didn't go to church at that time. So when I was younger, we went to a church when we had lived in another city, and then we bounced around a little bit. And there was just a lot of friction between my parents and church leadership in a couple of the places that we went to. Mm-hmm. So we stopped going all together for at least 10 years.
But you had had enough of in your background, so you knew about God.
I did know about God. Like my, especially my dad was always really big on when something happens, you pray. When something happens, you pray. And so I, with all of the rejection that I had experienced, and all of the neglect I experienced, I was really seeking attention from much older men. And I got into some really manipulative relationships with people that were at least twice my age. And I got to the end of my rope with a lot of things. I had, like, the suicidal thoughts had stopped at that moment when I was 15. But then, like, we went through a lot more stuff and I resorted to self-harm, and I came to God and I was like, hey, like, if you're a good God, then why is all of this happening? Like, where did you go somewhere? Did I go somewhere? And my inclination was something happens, then you pray to God. But I had to learn it was that you can't just come to God when something happens. Mm-hmm. So, but I was so grateful to have the foundation that I did, even as small as it was. It was like, okay, you would hope to come to God sooner, but in like my lowest moment, I was able to reach out to God, and he really did take those steps towards me as well. So
and that's when things started to change.
Things started to change. He told me so clearly when I came to him with that. He said, if you want to know where I am, then come to my house. So I started going to a live church, and I became connected with some of the people there. And I had nothing to lose. So I was like, God, if I even remotely think that this is what you want me to do, then I'm all in for it. Like, they talk about the 6-month challenge, which is an amazing place to start. But I was like, I don't want to just do this for 6 months. Like, I'm going to start doing things, and I'm just going to do them for the rest of my life. Like, there's like, it's all or nothing at this point, because I have nothing to lose, you know? So,
And so relying on God totally changed your story, didn't it?
It really did. It really did. It's like as soon as I stopped trying to find my own way of doing things, like taking matters into my own hands, and I'm just like, whatever it is you want, God, whether I understand it or not, I just have to leave it all up to you because that's the only thing that's changing anything right now.
So I'm curious, did you go to therapy, Danielle, after you kind of started going to church? Did you seek help that way too?
Eventually, I went through a curriculum at our church, the Freedom Curriculum, and I would say that what set me free the most was the truth, because everything that I did was operating under a lie that I believed about the rejection and my self-worth and what I was meant for. And once you learn the truth, the lie can't have a hold on you anymore.
So true.
So I think it began with establishing the truth and then really digging deeper into God's character, because our entire existence is dependent upon Him, because we're created in His image and we are created to love Him and love each other. And if He is love, then we can't know ourselves before we know God, not the other way around. Like, everybody wants to find themselves. But once you begin your journey of learning the character of God, you'll learn more about yourself without even having to try. So as far as counseling and therapy go, eventually I got to a point where I was able to work that out just because of my circumstances, insurance, finances, et cetera, because I really wanted Christian counseling, because mm-hmm. if someone's going to have that deep access to my soul, which is the gateway to your spirit, then I needed somebody that was looking through the same lens
right.
that I was intending to walk my life through. So eventually I had some sessions that really helped me, mostly to help establish some boundaries with my family and not feeling guilty for the distance that I had to have, really understanding the root of some things. And the last time I met with my therapist, we met probably a total of 10 times, and she said, well, you seem really good, and if you need something, call me up, but we don't necessarily have to meet once every month, so I know that I can always, like, hey, if I'm going through something, I can always call her up and be like, hey, I just need to talk through some things real quick, and we can have a 60-minute session. But I would say that it definitely helped me to develop some clarity in boundaries and roots in my thoughts.
That's good. Yeah. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am now engaged.
Awesome.
I'm to be married in the month of May, so incredibly soon now. I have a really great job. I serve in our church. Ministry is really where my heart and my passion are. And everything's good. Like, life is not easy, but everything is good. I have joy when I wake up in the morning, and that means so much, even when, like, you know, you have a hard day. It's like you can always be grounded and rooted in that joy, and not having that depression and anxiety makes a world of difference.
So if there is someone in our community that was listening today that's kind of in the same situation that you're in, that their home life isn't good, it's mm-hmm. a, you know, maybe situational, that is causing depression and anxiety and mm-hmm. Self-harm and suicidal thoughts. What would you say to them if someone was in similar to your situation? What would you say to them? What would you tell them? How would you tell them to get help?
For how to get help, I would say if you have someone in your life that you can reach to, someone that you know has good fruit in their life, because you can reach to somebody that has your problems, but reaching to someone that has your solutions helps you so much more. And it sounds mm-hmm. so simple, but we try to find someone that looks like us, but sometimes you need something that's different than you. So I would recommend you need the counsel of someone that has the fruit that you want. So it's like, if you see someone that you know that, like, they carry themselves with the joy and the integrity and the genuine caring, then I would recommend that you try to find some counsel with them, and they can point you to God. For me, I didn't have anyone. So I had to go find some people. So I would say, God's people, like having that community means so much, because we go to God, but God also gave us community.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go to God first, but God also leads you mm-hmm. to the community that you need. So find someone that can help you begin to navigate through that, someone that you can trust, someone that you can talk freely with, because holding all of that in, the enemy wants to isolate you. So yep. someone that you can just talk freely with, and they can help you with the steps instead of you having to try to figure it out all by yourself.
I love it. I love it. I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What would, if you could go back and talk to, say, 13, 14-year-old Danielle, you're mm-hmm. in the heat of everything that's going on in your life, what mm-hmm. would you say to 13-year-old Danielle?
I would tell her that she was made for more. I think trying to explain everything probably would have overwhelmed her a bit. And she may have even resented it because she couldn't understand who she was yet and everything that she was meant to do. But just assuring her that God made her for something that was really worthwhile, that she was really going to be a testimony to someone one day. And I think she would have felt like the difficult journey was a little more worth it.
That's good. That was good. Got anything else you want to say for our community? Anything God's put on your heart?
I would say mostly, like, I'm just really excited for this next generation of girls coming up. Like, I see a lot of girls in our community that are really striving to be wonderful women of God, like really courageous women of God. So I just want to encourage the one that feels like they're not doing enough, and just know that with God, all things are possible, and you don't have to be everything that makes it possible. It's with God that all things are possible. So just rest in knowing that you are fighting the good fight of faith, and be encouraged that it all works out eventually.
I love it. I love it. Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate you being here and sharing your story.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
We hope today's show encouraged you and gave you a few aha moments, and most importantly, have you digging deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Make sure to check out the show notes for any scriptures or books we mention. And if you love the podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button wherever you listen and share it with a friend. And if you want to know more, follow us on Instagram or go to our website, pineappleprinciple.org. Until next time, stand firm in your faith, own your crown, and love like Jesus.